This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 168, the Game 7 of the World Series edition of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, October 29th. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch,
who
had the opportunity of meeting for the very first time at WordCamp San Francisco. How you doing, Marcus?
Doing very well. I see that you've gotten home safe, as have I. And it's been quite a weekend as far as WordCamp San Francisco, the last WordCamp San Francisco, and we'll be talking about that later on here in the show.
So what we're going to do here in the show, we're going to give everybody a recap of the most important, well, I would say probably the most important session of the day is something that everybody in the WordPress ecosystem looks forward to every year, and that is Matt Mullenweg's State of the Word address. It's sort of like the WordPress version of the Apple keynote, except I think ours is a little hipper, a little cooler, and it's all about one product instead of multiple products. There's no announcements of new products usually, but a lot of great stuff, a lot of announcements to come out of the State of the Word. And the first actually being that the WordCamp San Francisco will actually be called WordCamp USA next year. And I was there, I was in the audience, I was in the same room. There's two different rooms where sessions are broadcasted, or sessions take place, and I was in the room where Matt was in. And when he made the announcement that this would be the last WordCamp San Francisco, there was this weird silence for about 3 or 4 seconds, and Matt was just looking around like, you know, what's going on? And then, you know, he started explaining what was going on, and I was shocked to hear that. I was not expecting him to come out and say that this would be the last WordCamp San Francisco, but then when he started explaining it, it makes sense. Essentially, they've outgrown the venue. They've outgrown the event, and they've seen the success that WordCamp Europe has had in having some regionalized WordCamps, bringing people from other countries into this one area, and they've been very successful with this. You know, WordCamp Sofia and WordCamp UK and some other WordCamp Europes of years past. And I think that's the idea behind WordCamp USA. So now instead of having it in a particular city, it will probably travel from city to city each year. Dates, times, anything of that nature dealing with the event is unknown, except that it will be WordCamp USA. And this does not mean that San Francisco won't be the host city of the very first WordCamp USA. It's just that it won't be called WordCamp San Francisco.
It's like the Olympics, right? It just travels around.
It just travels around. So I ended up asking a few people, saying, hey, where do you think WordCamp USA is going to be held? And for those who are in the know, Matt Mullenweg was born and raised in Houston, Texas. And I have a feeling that Houston is probably in the running for a consideration of hosting WordCamp USA, the first one. Some people are not too excited about that based on they visited Houston. They don't say much is there except oil, and it's very humid and hot. But others say that would be a great location. I'm thinking maybe Denver, maybe Miami, maybe Chicago or Atlanta, something that is more of a hub and international
vote,
people could get
my to vote easily. Personally, my vote personally is Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's
let me give you the concerns here, okay? Typically, anybody who's going to go to, you know, WordCamp USA, aka WordCamp San Francisco this past weekend, you're going to spend at least $1,000, right, in hotels that cost $200 plus a night, plus the venue and all that, plus the catering. You know, even Matt commented on it, needs to be better. But for, you know, the price, it's great for the WordCamp part, but the traveling part and the hotel part about it stinks. And if you put a big tourist / convention place like Las Vegas together, it's easy to get around. It's easy to get convention space, relatively cheap. Meals, not a problem. It's a hospitality city. and there's a lot of fun stuff to do afterwards. And can you imagine all the different parties that the vendors and things would be able to throw in Vegas? So I've attended things like Affiliate Summit in Las Vegas and some search engine stuff in Las Vegas, and even podcasting things in Las Vegas, and it's been really a great experience. And even if you just want to break away and do something else, it's a great thing to do. If you want to bring your friends, your spouse, they don't have to go to WordCamp with you. There's a lot of other things that they can do. So my vote is for Las Vegas. Andrea, I hope you're on the steering committee for this and maybe sway it in that direction.
So those events that you've attended, those conferences in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. Yes. What were their attendee levels like? Were they over 1,000?
Much over 1,000. It was, I think the last Affiliate Summit was maybe close to 4,000, if not more, attendees. I mean, you're talking...
Right?
Yeah, I mean, on the expo floor, you know, Hulk Hogan was there representing his hosting company, you know, Hostamania. you had one of the after parties was hosted by Flava Flav and a couple other people. It's like, it was crazy. And what's that guy, Busta Move? I forgot his name. I don't know. Some Busta kind of Ryan? No, I forget his name. And Young MC, something like that. I forget. Oh. 80s guy. But
oh,
you know,
MC Hammer maybe.
Yeah, I don't know who it was, but anyway, it was off the hook. You know, crazy stuff, and the parties at the Palms, and you know, at Caesars, and everything else, just nuts. But that's an industry driven by online money, and WordPress isn't always that. So you're going to have some variance in that degree of, you know, well, maybe not if WordPress keeps growing the way it does.
Well, that's cool because San Francisco, I mean, Moscone, the Mission Bay Conference Center, the WordCamp San Francisco has been about 1,000 attendees each year, and they've outgrown the venue and mm-hmm. outgrown the event, and they want to do their own catering or bring in their own food or their own restaurants, and maybe that would be, geez, 1,000 people. Sounds like a drop in the bucket to what's available in terms of conference center-wise venue locations in Vegas. So maybe that is a good choice.
And also you got to understand too, with going to Las Vegas, let's take the last Affiliate Summit for example. The event was at the Paris Hotel, okay? So it was in their convention center at the Paris Hotel, which also connects to, I think, Bally's Hotel. They're connected to each other, and the conference center is right in the middle. So how convenient is that to have your hotel right in the exact same place as the conference?
Very nice.
So, I mean, you're just walking right down, you know. You want to take a break for a minute, go upstairs, you know, lay down for a minute, change shoes, do whatever. How convenient is that? And that's what I'm looking at for WordCamp USA. That's what we got to look for.
Awesome. So the first, whenever we get word on where it's going to be, we'll be sure to let you know, and we'll talk about it. We'll see what city it is. Or I wonder if they'll take any survey feedback on where people would like to see WordCamp USA. I'm not sure if they would do that or not. Why not? Just get a sense of where people would want it to be.
Well, if I were on the board of tourism of any of these major cities that have conventions, I'd be in Matt's ear right now and getting in touch with Andrea Middleton.
Exactly. So one of the themes of Matt Mullowake's State of the Word address is global, especially with WordPress 4.1. Some of the things that are going to be introduced both in WordPress 4.1 and the various WordPress.org directories, both the plugin and theme directories, has to do with the global WordPress community. So one of the stats that came out was that this year, 2014, was the first year that non-English downloads surpassed English downloads, which is a significant stat. And he also encouraged locale, or locali, as some people like to call it, as a wider concept that includes language, time zone, and date format, suggesting that maybe even it could be per-user internationalization features. Like, for example, someone leaves a comment in Japanese, an English-speaking post author would receive the notification in English. Now, that to me is really cool. And what if I replied to them in English, but to them, they saw it in Japanese. I think that would be extremely cool.
It's like the talking through the big TV in the Star Trek bridge, right?
Right.
The translator. That's really what it's become.
So language packs are coming to more plugins and themes by early 2015. And this was a big announcement that the plugin and theme directories will be fully localized and will be available to search through in the dashboard starting with WordPress 4.1. So what does this mean? It means that whatever language you are running, you set WordPress to run in, when you do a search for plugins and themes, it will actually search for those plugins or themes that are in the same language as your install of WordPress so that everything kind of meshes around that experience of your language. I think that is, you know, that's just one of those things. Well, it makes sense to me, you know, common sense things, but because of things that haven't been put into place, code and things of that nature, it hasn't been done. But it looks like it's going to be executed and available to use around WordPress, the release of WordPress 4.1.
And imagine when we get to the phase where all of the plugins get translated then as well. I mean, for me as a plugin reviewer and plugin critic, I get so frustrated when I see a cool title, but then I install it and it's like in French, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the functionality or how to get around it. I'll share a personal story. There is a video titling program that I happen to use that is amazing in how it can pull in live RSS data and do like live displays for stores and stuff like that for their, you know, restaurants, for their in-video and all that. And I was researching high and low for a solution, could never find it, found this Dutch program and tried to monkey around with it in Dutch and got it to barely work, but then a couple of months later they translated it to English and oh my gosh, it made all the difference in the world. So imagine the other side of that as far as people that don't speak English as a native language.
Mm-hmm.
And how much functionality they're missing out on because of the fact that they don't understand the basics of how to get a plugin to even work. So, you know, thinking more consciously about the other side, so to speak, of you know, at least for myself, you know, only English speaking, I think that the time has come to kind of build that bridge into the other side. And, you know, there was even, you know, talk of, you know, more WordCamp Continental conferences, WordCamp Africa as a possibility, perhaps WordCamp Asia. I mean, imagine all of the developer conferences in those particular places and what they would do with all of us being able to speak together. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's WordPress underneath, but it's the Asian version, it's the African version, it's the locale version for that area. So each area would have their own sets of contributors, developers, plugin authors, theme authors that can really get around the software, you know, surround the software project and really mesh as a community instead of always fighting the English as the predominant language.
That's right. Who knows? Maybe Matt can end, you know, and end all the wars and bring world peace through WordPress and different word camps. If we can get along there, we can get along anywhere.
Well, that would be something else. So one of the stats that come out of Matt's State of the Word is that there are now more phones on the planet than human beings. I mean, just that is a lot of mobile devices. So,
yeah, that number's not going down.
Yeah, so in his slide, he said that we need to cater to them or they're just going to replace us, he joked, which is yeah, it's pretty funny. And he also mentioned that online communication is one of the great equalizers of our time, which goes hand in hand with WordPress's mission to democratize publishing. So his thoughts is that mobile devices are starting to get more capacity to do more things. They're getting faster and faster processors. They're becoming larger in size. And because of that, there are going to be things and development techniques that are going to be created to really harness the power to create a great experience on these mobile devices. And Matt Mulloway thinks that WordPress is a tool or an application program that can really be on the wave of this sort of new mobile development technique So that was really neat. Of course, here we go, you know, the attention to mobile. So with more phones, mobile devices being on Earth than human beings, I guess it makes all the sense in the world to concentrate on mobile.
Well, also, you know, let's go with an international thing as well. There are a lot more mobile users probably around the world, other than North America and such, than desktop computer users. Most of them probably can't even afford it.
And in some countries, especially in the evolving countries, mobile is the only way they consume and generate content.
Right. So, and also, it's a perfect device because it's already hooked to a camera, video, voice recorder, all of those things. So you don't need 50 devices in order to actually podcast with the right applications through mobile. You could do it. But the interface sucks right now as far as being able to do it. So it's got to improve, and it's got to improve universally so that everybody can take advantage of it. I mean, one day, Jeff, there will be 100 WordPress podcasts from around the world. I guarantee it, and it won't be that far off.
I think that's pretty cool, especially if those were contained or spoke on things related to their local area, the influence and the things going on in their community, in their area, their region. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, there are guys in countries that we can't even pronounce, Jeff, that are solving problems that you and I are so frustrated about in WordPress, and they have no one to tell about because they don't speak English.
So one of the things that I was excited to hear Matt address in the State of the Word is the WP REST API, and he highlighted it as being critical to WordPress's ability to rapidly iterate in the future. And he had mentioned that what the API will do is pave the way for completely bespoke posting interfaces. And he mentioned in the slide that he's often asked, especially over the last couple of years, when will WordPress be developed in such a way where we can easily create admin themes? How can we rebrand the admin to give it its own unique look? And it's been difficult to do. Well, he believes that with this REST API, that it will be possible now for, who knows, maybe 1,000 different WordPress administration, back-end interpretations to bloom. And I was very excited to hear that. And that goes in line with what we've been talking about the past 2 weeks or so, dealing with this whole REST API.
It's quite an advancement, and it's something that I've got some great interest in it and seeing where this goes from an application standpoint, from a theme development standpoint, and even where it can go into a business standpoint. How does this API relate to things like Salesforce and WooCommerce and tying those into MailChimp's API, and how can you just redirect things without having to go through crazy interfaces or cron jobs and stuff? So, it's worth paying attention to right now, especially anybody who wants to do any kind of WordPress development in the future. You're going to need to know this stuff.
So within the next few weeks, I spoke to both Ryan McHugh, who was working on adding the WordPress API to core, and I also spoke to Sam Hoskis, who did a session on APIs and how they're changing the web. And we're going to have both individuals on WordPress Weekly within the next, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks. And we're going to talk about everything REST API. I'm so looking forward to that episode.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Those guys, they were a lot of fun at WordCamp.
So when Matt Mullewake asked the crowd in attendance how many people use GitHub for social development, it seemed like all the hands were raised. And for a long time, WordPress does have a mirror on GitHub of the core, but you can't submit pull requests. They end up going into oblivion. Nobody looks at them. Well, Matt Mullenweg announced that the official GitHub repository for WordPress will now start accepting pull requests to core. So instead of them going into oblivion, there will be someone or a group of core devs looking into those submissions. And that received a very loud round of applause. I think that's something a lot of developers have been wanting for a long time now.
Yeah, they just want to be heard, right? I mean, if
they want to be heard using the platform of their choice.
Right. And these, you know, it's about contributing. They we always talk about contributing, and they want to contribute, so make it so that a platform is convenient to them to contribute, and it's not that much harder to adapt, you know, to it. So I was very glad to hear that news as well.
So there were 785 people who contributed on 5 major releases since the last WordCamp San Francisco in 2000, between 2013 and the event in 2014. And I think that number will increase substantially thanks to this development with GitHub. I think a lot of developers, you know, a lot of them have just moved to Git and GitHub, and they don't like Subversion. And now that they're open to the pull requests from GitHub, I think we're going to see a lot more contributions now to the core of WordPress. So it's just a great thing to see. I'm glad they're finally accepting those type of requests.
And actually going through all those versions, and Matt had that slide up of all the different names of the versions and such since the last WordCamp San Francisco, I was stunned at how many versions there were that I just kind of took for granted how many different revisions there had been in just, you know, a little over a year's time. To me, it was really mind-boggling and something worth, you know, noting once again to the whole development squad that helps to put that together.
So communication inside the WordPress project, part of the communication is IRC. That's what the teams use. That's where the development chats happen. Well, Matt made a big announcement in that they're going to try an experiment where all of the communication channels for development meetings or for team meetings are going to be held on this app called Slack. Slack is based in San Francisco, not too far away from the Automatic headquarters. And what's going to happen is that the WordPress support channel on IRC will remain. That's not being touched. But the experiment will take place on Slack for the teams and communications there. And what Slack is, it's a very nice, modern-looking, essentially IRC interface, but without the technical hurdles to try and get involved. You know, with IRC, you have to know how to connect to servers, you have to know channels, sometimes you have to download an app, an MIRC type of application. Well, with this, you just log in, you sign up with an account, you log in, it logs you in automatically to the WordPress project, and they already have a list of channels already there, so you just enter the channel that you want to see. It has really nice detailed logs. You could direct message people, and based on the conversations that we were having, it's really meant for teams, and that's exactly what the WordPress core and the associated projects need, is something that's built for teams, something that IRC is not very good with.
No, that's one communication point that is the most difficult to solve, at least in development, in business, in any of those particular cycles. I suffer with it a lot working with remote people, and my teams are relatively small in the groups of 5. So I can't imagine throwing 50, 60 people in one core, you know, development group together and trying to disseminate what's what with the chat. So whatever works, whatever gets you there.
So I've already signed up for Slack. I'm trying it out. I'm going to write a review of my thoughts on it probably sometime next week. So look forward to that on wptavern.com. And another announcement that received a loud applause is that Matt announced that they are already working on offering better statistics for WordPress theme and plugin providers. At one point, they did have, at least plugin authors had a usage graph or they had different bar graphs, but that was pulled down about a year or two ago because it was discovered the data was very inaccurate. So if it's going to be inaccurate, you might as well not even have it there in the first place. So it was removed, but they're currently working on a solution to provide much better stats, and I think that's something a lot of third-party plugin and theme authors have been wanting now for a long time. It's just really, really good stats to give them an indication on who's using it, which version of WordPress is being used on. And, it, you know, as a developer, I think all that information is key, especially in terms of which versions you're going to continuously develop for and rely on, and which ones you want to sort of give an end of life. And it just kind of gives you an overview of what your user base is for your particular theme or plugin. I think that's, as a developer, that would be vital information.
Yes, but to me, it doesn't go far enough. I'm never pleased with the repository layout as far as plugins go. Jeff, it needs to be more like the App Store for Apple. It needs to be, we've got all these cool, fancy badges, right, for the plugins now. We've got all these cool app-looking tiles. Why not have a top 10 or new and improved or, you know, just out? Most popular download today, most popular download this week. You know, as heard on WordPress Weekly, you know, staff picks. Why not? Come on. Marcus Couch's favorites.
So are you saying just links to see those types of plugins within the back end for when you're searching for plugins or on the repo, the plugin page?
Right on the repo. Make it just like the App Store. So if you're you can categorize it a little easier, perhaps. You know, there's no categorization right now.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's all tag-based, and, geez, there's like, I don't know, 40,000 different tags being used for different plugins. So, yeah, I can see your point, and maybe that's just part of the long haul, because really there's a lot of things on WordPress.org that need to be overhauled, but they can't just, you know, WordPress.org is such a large beast that, and I've spoken to people on teams that are working on various projects to overhaul WordPress.org, and it's not easy. A lot of data they have to manage, and they're working on some older systems, and they have to worry about compatibility and breaking things. So I imagine it's probably in the works, but when and where, that's to be determined.
Well, it's got to be tied together. You know, we've got to be able to use, you know, maybe even a BuddyPress model, something like that, where we can even ask questions to the author as us. As the individual, so they can, you know, when people leave reviews and stars, we can see who left it to see if it's really legitimate.
I mean, overall, my grand vision, if I were in control of WordPress.org, is just make it the coolest, best social network specifically for WordPress. And just bring in the likes, bring in the features, bring in the ability to create groups, bring in the ability to create teams. Have your list, you know, as part of your profile, you have a list of your favorite themes, your favorite plugins. Be able to, just like in some of these third-party sites, you have a key or something, be able to download somebody's favorites or whatever. Just mm-hmm. Socialize everything. Socialize all the things on WordPress.org and make it a huge WordPress activity hub for all things WordPress. That's what I would do. And I think eventually that may be the road WordPress.org decides to take, especially if they decide to get BuddyPress involved.
And then even have groups specific to each individual plugin. So if 50 guys are fans, if guys and ladies are fans of one plugin, and instead of a huge support forum somewhere else, third party, anybody can just jump in and contribute or ask a question about a plugin right then and there.
Sure, that could work. Or, you know, and then they could use that group to offer beta releases to, or, you know, those people that are in that group are, you know, likely your biggest fans of that plugin, so you would probably work hand in hand with them to give them beta releases or ask them, hey, do any of you have feature ideas? I could see that working.
Sure, and then even fork that into, you know, a Git-like environment where people in the group can actually contribute to the plugin.
Yeah, social, all the things, even development.
That's right, yes.
So
let's get on it.
Let's get on it. So Matt said only 25% of users are on the latest install, which is WordPress 4.0. That's a sobering number. And even though he noted that it's far better than it was in the past, they still have a lot of improvement that they can make. So he had mentioned the fact again that their long-term vision for WordPress is to make it like Chrome or like a service. You just use the service, and you don't care which version it's using, or maybe you can't easily find out, but you just use it, and you use whatever the newest one is available. and sort of the long-term vision of WordPress is going to be like that. Maybe you use it one day, and maybe an automatic update came out, and that's the version you're using, version 4.0 point blah, 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 you know, whatever number. And that's just useful for devs, but not useful to you, and sort of gives you an iteration of what you're using versus yesterday. Matt had asked how many people this was fascinating to me. He had asked how many people in the room had been hacked, and the room, you know, being filled with professionals and amateur bloggers and those who are managing large multi-site networks, a ton of hands went up in the air. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, I mean, that's ouch, you know. And so he just says, you know, doesn't this suck? And everybody's like, yeah, that really sucks, you know, to have your site hacked. So, you know, they're talking about automatic updates and trying to work with what they're going to end up doing is working with large web hosting providers and trying to come up with a system or solution to try and get WordPress versions updated. So I think they're going to start speaking with GoDaddy, maybe Bluehost, DreamPress, and start finding out using data how many WordPress installs before a certain version are being used on those web hosting platforms and try and get all of those automatically updated or updated somehow, some way, just to maybe tone down the amount of people getting hacked just because they failed to upgrade.
And Matt even mentioned perhaps their call centers can call the customer direct and say, hey, how about upgrading your WordPress?
Yeah, that'd be a heck of a reminder, huh?
That'd be great, actually. I mean, what better service? You know, I can't think of anything that's any kind of software or application that's ever done that for me.
So in addition to getting WordPress versions updated on web hosting companies on their servers, he also spent some time talking about WordPress support for more modern versions of PHP. I believe WordPress supports PHP version 5.2, which has had an end of life for a few years now. So what they're going to do is try and work with web hosting companies or even work with users, maybe even more education, and start getting a lot of people to start hammering their web host to say, hey, upgrade to PHP 5.5 or above. And so there's going to be this movement. And WordPress.org, you know, they have some clout, and they can get some things done. And what they're going to do is they're going to work with, again, the large web hosting providers, try and get them upgraded to PHP 5.5 or above, because there's just way too many WordPress sites running on servers, web hosting servers, that are running versions 5.4 and below. And there's actually quite a few still running on 5.2 or whatever the last version is in the 5. Whatever range that has already been end of life. And that's Matt a tough admitted, problem for them to solve.
Yeah, Matt admitted he even had a site that was out of revision as well.
Yeah. So they're going to try and make a concerted effort to take care of this PHP version problem within the following year. He also mentioned the 2015 theme is going to be released along with WordPress 4.1. And near the end of his presentation, he had mentioned his talk, Five for the Future. What this was, it was his take on sort of the bare minimum 5% of what a company should consider, could consider contributing to WordPress in order to avoid the tragedy of commons, and that, you know, WordPress isn't going to grow as much as it possibly could without these contributions from companies and agencies that rely on WordPress to put food on the table. So 5% is sort of the bare minimum, and he had pointed out a couple of companies that are already sort of either hiring employees or assigning employees to aim for that 5% goal. And among some of the companies are Gravity Forms, WPMU Dev, and Automattic. And a few of those companies, I know that WPMU Dev, they put out a post about last week saying they were hiring two WordPress.org forum support people. And their job was to provide support on the WordPress.org support forums for 40 hours a week. So I guess not a bad gig if you love doing support. And that was going to be their 5% contribution to WordPress.
And not to mention, it's great it's great training for somebody who's actually, you know, there is actually an actual employee that is working on the project then when a company gives back in that respect. So that person gains invaluable skills and knowledge and gets to actually directly contribute as well, which is cool.
So I've actually spent some time, I think it was after the WordPress 3.9 release, and every now and then when I'm bored, I'll go onto the WordPress.org support forums, and I'll just start finding the question I think I can answer. And it's, well, no, not trolling, but I try and find a support question I think I can answer. And the support forums are such, I mean, like you said, training, you get to see people wanting to use WordPress or trying to do things in a way that you, A, you're thinking, why would you do something like that? And B, it's sort of kind of fun trying to put yourself in a situation to find out, okay, how can they use it in this way? Of course, you hope it's the good way, you know, it's not an incompatible way, but you get to see some interesting use cases and you really get to learn and see the millions of different ways people are using WordPress just via the support forums.
Yeah, if you're ever looking for a blog topic to write about WordPress,
head it's there. In there somewhere. Just do the topic in there somewhere. So that, for the most part, those were the major announcements in the WordPress.org State of the Word address. Another fantastic presentation. He ended up, Matt Mulloway came out on stage. I think it might have been the first time I've ever seen him in a suit, so he looked very CEO-ish.
Yes.
Regarding his role with Automattic, and it was just a great event, and I spoke to a few people that was their first time actually being in the same room when Matt was giving the State of the Word address, and they said it was like majestic, you know, it was magic, just being surrounded by all those people clapping at the right moments, cheering at the right moments, hearing people go, yeah, when they see something like the GitHub stuff for WordPress Core. Just a great event. And Marcus, I know that was your first one. What takeaways, thoughts, or impressions did you get from actually being there to listen and see Matt give the State of the Word?
He's got passion for it, you know? He said, touch the walls on your way out, because this is going to be the last time we're here. You know, you can tell that he's serious about it, and even the Q&A session, you know, people kind of pinned him on a few questions, and he was even, you know, about women involvement and things like that, and he was as sincere as he could be about it. And, you know, even I rushed up on stage right afterwards to get a snapshot with him and my wife. So
mission accomplished.
That's right. On stage, too. That was awesome.
So that pretty much, now there was a lot of other sessions that took place throughout the 2 days there. One session I really appreciated was Andrew Nason's session on WordPress. The future of WordPress is global. And that really gave you an indication of just the intricacies, the importance, and the enormous amount of variables that go into localization, internationalization for the software. I mean, you got to look at date codes and times and time zones and languages, mm-hmm. all down to the point where in certain countries you could have, you know, let's say there's French, well, you could have Canadian French or Quebec French, or you could have subgroups of a particular language. It gets a little crazy there with going global. So it was nice to get his presentation and just know that there's a lot of work that goes into making WordPress global.
Yeah, it's like building the universal translator, right? It's crazy. What we're going to have to go through as far as a burden to break down every bridge, you know, but it's just like the inception of broadband and that. It takes a while, but eventually you get there.
So that was my, outside of the State of the Word, that was probably one of my favorite sessions as well. And Sam Hotchkiss on how APIs are changing the web. That was a very cool presentation as well. Marcus, any other sessions that sort of stand out to you on where you just nodded your head and you just took a lot from?
I loved the lightning talks. Those were awesome. Just 5 minutes, bang, bang, bang. And then, you know, if there was time, question and answer period. I enjoyed the outdoor gathering when the alarms went off. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, the unscheduled fire alarm.
That we should have got a group picture. That would have been great.
Unscheduled networking time.
That's right. I really liked Nason, as you said. Chris Lemma, of course, you know, didn't really give a talk, but he gave a story, which I always appreciate. And it was, you know, inspiring. And I love hearing that, and I love to see where and how far he's come, you know, from just a couple years ago to now, from just a blogger to speaker to, you know, everything like this. So I was very impressed, as always, with Chris. And it was enjoyable. I just had a great time networking with everybody and meeting the guys in Dradcast and Dre and, you know, other people that I interviewed before, and seeing how well that helped them in their WordPress career as they kind of leveraged those interviews and used them for getting better gigs. So
Did you happen to go to the community summit on Monday?
I did not, because I was traveling. I had a long 8-hour drive back to Southern California. Okay. So I didn't get to attend that.
I did not get to attend as well. Evidently, you know, the last time I went to WordCamp San Francisco, I didn't get to experience any of the city. So this time around, I hung out with some friends, and I experienced as much of the city as I could. And then when Monday came around, my feet were so sore. I still have blisters on them. I was wiped out. I was tired. I decided to sleep in and give myself a free day. So I apologize to anyone out there who's wanting to know what happened at the community summit. I know Sarah Gooding was there of WP Tavern, so she may or may not publish her thoughts on the community summit day. But based on what some of the people have said on Twitter, it was an amazing experience of collaboration and just having a ton of people just hammering away at their favorite interest of WordPress, which is really what it's all about.
Yeah, it was great to meet Sarah too, and her husband. It was really nice to, you know, get all of us together, and we were all within 5 feet of each other at one point.
Yeah, and I also want to, before we end the show or we get to your plug-in picks of the week, had an opportunity to, you know, first off, I want to thank all the sponsors that helped put WordCamp San Francisco together, because it was a fantastic event. The volunteers helped put on WordCamp San Francisco did an excellent job. This event was one of the most well-run I've seen. Didn't have a problem. Plenty of space for networking time, thanks to all the breaks. Really appreciated the hour of networking time on Sunday morning, so that was nice. And just overall, just a really great event, and I'm curious to see how it's going to evolve into this WordCamp USA when they're going to be moving it possibly from city to city, how that will work, because at least for Matt and them, they were sort of San Francisco based, so I don't know how this will work remotely in different cities. But thanks to the sponsors and everybody else, the volunteers, for really putting on a fantastic event. And like I said before I attended WordCamp San Francisco, it's like a great family reunion, except you want to be around these people. And that's exactly what it was. And just like last year, there were several people I didn't get a chance to meet because I got pulled away. I started hanging out with this group. I went with this group. And sometimes you just don't get a chance to cross paths, even though you're at the same event. So to those who wanted to meet me, I apologize. But I did get a chance to meet a group of people from, I believe, Japan. There was about 4 or 5 individuals. I was at a after party that one of the sponsors was putting together, and there was 5 individuals from Tokyo that I introduced myself to them, and they just, I'm a humble guy, but I've never seen so many people get so excited to meet me before. I told them I was Jeffro from WP Tavern, and they just, the look in their eyes and the reaction, it was incredible. I mean, it was something to experience. So I told them, you know, what I did, who I was, and it was great getting to meet them. And apparently they are, a lot of people over in the Tokyo and Japan area are huge fans of WP Tavern. So just in case they're listening, I want to say thank you. It was a pleasure meeting some individuals from that area of the world, And please keep reading, because that was fantastic.
And keep listening. Spread out some mixtapes. Yeah, put them out there.
So outside of that, Marcus, I know you had a picture with Matt Mulloway, but any other things that you take away from this weekend of awesome WordPress goodness?
Well, it was fun to meet you, you know, as you and I have been doing this show for a while and interacting for a long time.
The first time we meet, there's a fire alarm, so.
Yeah, I know.
That's how that goes.
Not good, but no, it was great. And, you know, we ran into each other a couple times, and then we met at the party at Automatic. And that was fun, going through the WordPress Museum and looking at all the, you know, nice stuff with Rich and your buddy Rich. And it was really nice. It was a cool party. I didn't like the beer, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's got different taste. And, you know, I just found it really cool. If you went outside during some of the sessions on Saturday, I was talking to a few people, but you would see maybe two people over here talking, three people over there walking around and talking, and maybe two somewhere else. And I spoke with an individual that, you know, was sort of, I guess, a fly on the wall in some of those conversations, but it was kind of interesting. He said, you know what those two are doing over there? I said, they're probably just talking about whatever. He goes, no, they're talking about strategic acquisitions. Do you know what those three guys over there are talking about? I said, no. He goes, they're talking about how they can create relationships because they have products that complement each other. They have complementary products, and they want to know how they could work together. They're working on collaboration. So it was very cool to just sort of look around and what you think, you know, maybe you would think you're talking about sessions, but really there was some business deals going down. So I wouldn't be surprised that within the next few weeks, you and I are within the news segment are reporting on either strategic acquisitions, whether it become companies or products or themes. We'll have to see what happens. But there was a lot of business stuff going down at WordCamp San Francisco.
There's a lot of business stuff, which, you know, makes valid things like Pressnomics, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be just a room full of that. And then, you know, the presence of the sponsors was there, and they were facilitating some stuff, which was great to see with guys who were big developers talking to major hosts. And, you know, they brought out the big guns. GoDaddy brought their main WordPress guys and the main GoDaddy evangelist out. That's pretty serious. WP Engine had the Dragcast, you know, from the booth, and had Matt on the show. So that's
Microsoft even had a few people in attendance.
Yeah. So this is pretty big as far as the partnership and growth as in WordPress as a business and WordPress for business. So I'm very anxious to see where the rest of it goes. And these people that were on the, you know, expo floor, I guess you could say, weren't cheap either. They were giving away some killer swag too. Everybody had shirts. Jetpack was giving away cool packs. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was disappointing. They weren't giving out real jetpacks. I mean, yeah, by now. You know. So speaking of swag, what's your favorite swag item?
I like the jetpack. I think that's pretty cool and pretty handy that I could throw all my other swag inside that.
The jetpack labeled sort of book bag that you could carry.
Yeah, exactly. I like the shirts. Got extra shirts. Was gonna get a phone case at the swag store, but I didn't want to give up my phone armor that I use right now. So overall, though, it was great. The food was great. It was served in several locations, outside, inside, the vegan thing, upstairs even, I think. So the lines weren't too long. It was pretty nice to get food in there. It was buffet style, so you just grabbed a plate, grabbed a chair, and started having conversations with people. And it was great because people would finish their meal, throw their plate away, knowing that they would have 20 minutes or so left, so they'd kind of bounce around from table to table, talking to different people in different groups of people with conversation. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice.
Yeah, fantastic setup. And I'm going to have to say that, A, the WordCamp San Francisco T-shirt that all attendees received is very comfy. I love that soft, cottony feel of fabric. So that's comfy. I ended up Now, speaking of food, I ended up eating on the first day of the buffet. Unbeknownst to me, stuff was falling off my plate. I didn't know where it went. And after lunch, I looked down at my shirt. Oh, that's where it went. So I ended up needing a change of shirt. I didn't know what to do. Oh, well, there's only about 20 different T-shirts that I could pick from that people were giving away, sponsors were giving away at their table. So I ended up getting this really nice T-shirt from Hey Flywheel called, and it says Designers Are Fly on the front of it. And it's pretty cool, soft T-shirt. But my favorite swag item of this event was from the In Motion hosting table, and they were giving out these slap bracelets that had a sort of particular feel to them. But at the end of them, they had this little top, and if you took the top off, there was a micro, like 4 gig stick in there, memory stick, and you could use it for it was like a USB key, but it was very long because of the slap bracelet. So I spent most of the weekend, I ended up getting two of them, just holding my arm out and throwing the slap bracelet and watching it wrap around my arm. You know, it brought me back to the late 80s, early 90s, when those things used to be popular. So that was just a really cool swag item. That was my favorite.
Yeah, I watched you playing with that thing in the stands.
It was cool. I'd say, hey, hold out your wrist. And I, you know, whip that thing and wrap right around him. I mean, I was like, it's like a superpower.
Yeah, you felt like a cop slapping cuffs on people.
Oh, man, that's – hold on. Even though it's delayed, it still deserves it. So with that said, that's going to do our – that's our recap of WordCamp San Francisco. But before we get out of here, we can't do a show that Marcus is on without him giving us his plug-in picks of the week. So, Marcus, why don't you wrap it up with your picks of the week?
All right. Well, you know, as the world's plug-in guru, Jeff, I often keep a stash of plugins installed that I need to test, and even if I don't even activate them. But it's pretty challenging when you've got a list of over 100 like I do. And I found a plugin recently that helps to manage this just a little bit. So it allows you to kind of make an archive. It's called Plugin Mover. It allows you to make an archive of your unused plugins into a separate directory on your FTP and out of sight of your plugins list. And then when you're ready, you can just copy them back.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so it just kind of moves them into an archive, a little shelf, where, you know, it moves them over from the FTP in the FTP, so you can even FTP to the shelf name, so to speak, in your FTP folders. And similar, this one is pretty cool, Jeff. You're going to like this. It's called Widget Importer and Exporter. If you've ever built a site that has all the same plugins, themes, and you want to have the same widgets, well, if you use this plugin, you can do it. It makes the job really easy to set up. You just simply export your widget settings from the main site import, and then you go over to your new site where this plugin is also installed and just upload that file, import that file in, and then all your widget settings are all the same as what your old site was.
So the importer is very cool because that takes care of the setup, and then after that, WordPress actually saves your widgets and what's being used in the theme when you switch themes. So if you switch themes, you end up coming back, you'll still see all the widgets that were in use in that theme. But this makes the setup process easy. You don't have to go in and manually re-add anything anymore.
Right, especially if you've got scripts or code or things like that in these widgets. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for that. Because now, the one thing is, you've got to make sure that all the plugins are the same on both sites. So if there's one widget in particular that's dependent on one plugin, you've got to make sure that it's on the secondary site as well. Otherwise, it won't import the data from that.
Right.
And the next one, Jeff, we talk about visual page builders sometimes. And there's a new plugin out called Massive Visual Page Builder. And I think this is kind of like the Tinker Toy set for page building. It gives you a ton of different options and things that you can build, but it's really simple and doesn't require any code at all. But if you're a coder or, you know, a hacker like me and you want to get some things to work with functionality or short codes, it allows you to do that too. So it's a free visual page builder. It's called Massive Visual Page Builder. And I thought it was a great starter into the world of visual page building.
We'll have to see how this compares to Velocity Page, which I believe also uses sort of the WordPress widget system. I think, now don't quote me on that, I think it uses the WordPress widget system as well to build your page layout.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to see how that compares. And
boy, yeah, it has a lot of different options. It has a lot of different options, like built-in slideshows, carousels, accordions, galleries, HTML embeds, you know, featured images, featured posts, posts and categories, different layouts, works, things like that. It's got a lot to it. So it's worth really just looking at, even if it's just for a few minutes, to experiment with.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. So, Marcus, it was fantastic. I finally had a chance to meet you in person.
Also, yes, met you as
lovely,
well.
Met your lovely wife, and she's great. And hopefully at some point in the future, we will get to meet again.
Yes, I hope so as well. It seemed too short, our time together, but we got a lot accomplished. And it was fun to hang out at Automatic. Did you guys end up playing pool or shuffleboard or things like that after I left?
Yeah, ended up going upstairs. I know you ended up leaving early. Ended up going upstairs, playing a couple rounds of pool, and then at 10 o'clock, hey, the show's over. Lights went on, and everybody was told to get out. So that's what happened there.
Yeah, I caught an Uber getting out of there, fighting the World Series, all that stuff. That was interesting, wasn't it, with the World Series going on in town at the same time?
Yes, that was indeed interesting. A lot of orange and brown walking around.
Yeah, I really kind of wish that they would have won it while we were there. I mean, you know, if you're going to be in a riot in a city while you're having a WordCamp, that'd be a fun one to be in.
Yeah, I suppose. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find the show notes for this episode and every other episode on wbtavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0. And Marcus, how about yourself?
You can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, and also on Twitter at marcuscouch.
Excellent. And for next Wednesday night, our special guest will be Sean Hesketh of WP 101. So we'll talk to him about educating users through the use of video, and also talk to him about his relationship with GoDaddy. That we talked about a few weeks ago. So looking forward to that episode. And until then, we'll talk to you next Wednesday evening. Stay safe, everybody.